A1.
Number 10, B.
If being is the divine mind, namely the divine knowing, then we must know that which knows us. We cannot just believe or be ignorant about this divine mind. If mind is the infinite intelligence, the infinite knowing, then all that there is true about being is knowing and not ignorance. So only knowing, divine knowing, spiritual understanding, really can be at one with the divine being. So understanding becomes the keynote of Christian Science. Just as science is a keynote, in those 600 pages of the Christian Science textbook, the term science occurs about 1,000 times, and the term understanding appears about 300 or 400 times. And so you can see that the pith of the teaching of Christian Science is to understand in a scientific way what being is. But when I say that we must spiritually understand God, then I mean really to understand God spiritually and not in another way, because the critics say, well, it is not possible to understand God. Or they say that we try to understand God through our scholarly understanding. When we say that God must be understood, then we mean an understanding which is something very different from what material science or natural science depicts as understanding. When we say that we must spiritually understand God, then really this understanding is a spiritual understanding. It is therefore not a scholarly understanding. It's not an understanding which we can learn in schools and in universities. It's not an understanding which relies solely on the intellect, where it appeals to human reasoning, where it appeals, say, to the discoveries of natural science, and so on. It isn't an understanding which is built on material knowledge. It is not an understanding which we gain through investigating the testimony of the physical senses. It is not an understanding which we gain through experiments in physics and in electronics. When we use the term understanding, it means spiritual understanding, an understanding that is built on spiritual qualities and on spiritual ideas. We know that this one being, which is defined through the seven synonymous terms, that this norm, this divine standard, expresses itself through ideas. And therefore, our understanding must be an understanding of ideas. Such an understanding is directed to spiritual facts, and is therefore something very different from any other human knowledge, or material knowledge, or scholarly knowledge. Therefore, any knowledge gained through natural science, through scholarly attainment, is of no help for understanding God. Let's just see that very clearly, that a spiritual understanding is an understanding that has been cultured by our search for the spiritual ideas of being. And by saying that it is an understanding of ideas, and by saying that the divine being expresses itself through ideas, I have come to the point where I must now explain somehow what ideas are, what we mean by ideas. So let us consider ideas, because as the norm of God, the Word of God, is expressing itself in spiritual ideas, we should really know what is an idea. And it seems to be one of the most difficult things for human beings to grasp what is an idea. It isn't because it's very difficult, but it is because human language uses the term idea in so many ways which are not right, which are not correct, which are not really to the point. So let me try to explain what is an idea. And I say, let me try, because I think I can do no more than try. I have found out through experience that it takes years and years to get to the point where one becomes satisfied with one's own answer what an idea is. It's something one has to think over and over and over. But it isn't difficult. It's so simple that it is just difficult to get it because our human mind is so chaotic and so difficult in itself. What is an idea? Well, an idea is really an image in the divine mind. Therefore, you could say that that which the divine mind is conscious about itself, that is an idea. When mind is knowing itself, and I mean the divine mind, is knowing itself, it knows itself as ideas. Idea is also defined in Webster as the immediate object of understanding, meaning that it is really the object of our divine understanding. Therefore, we could say that really an idea are the elements with which we work in spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding must work with elements, and those elements we call ideas. It must have some elements, just as the mathematicians deals in mathematics with, say, numbers, or like the chemist deals in his subject with his elements, which are chemical elements, or like the musician deals with the elements of the science of music, with tones, or just like the painter really deals with his elements, namely with colors. So, in the science of being, we deal with our elements, and these elements are ideas. Ideas are really the values of God, of deity. The values of deities, the way how God manifests itself, those elements are ideas. The divine being is not unexpressed. The divine being does express him itself. But through what? Through qualities of God, through values of God. And these we call ideas. We could perhaps also say that ideas are the divine archetypes of divinity. You know what an archetype is? Perhaps those who have been interested in psychology, for instance, may have seen that psychology, like Jung and so on, they work with archetypes. They see that everything in our experience has an original type. archetype means nothing else but original type or form. Ideas are divine archetypes, really. They are the divinely original forms of what constitutes the realm of the real. The moment we ask what constitutes the realm of the real, we can't say it is constituted of stones and iron and flesh and blood and bones, of cobalt and of sulfur and of trees and of animals. When we are considering what is the universe of the real, we say it's a universe that is constituted of ideas, of values of deity, of original, unchangeable qualities or forms of reality. Therefore, ideas are just types of how God expresses himself, are the ways and means how God manifests himself. What is the form of an idea? If I ask the form about a table, then I can show that the table has such and such a form, takes on so much space, and is situated at such and such a place, and so on. What is the form of an idea? Has it a shape? Has it extension? No. An idea is spaceless, an idea is timeless. We will never be able to say an idea is here or there, because an idea has no limits. Just as you can't say a 2 and a 2 equal 4 is here or there, it is without space. You cannot pin down the 2 and 2 are 4 somewhere in a certain place, because it's a fact that is everywhere, you see. An idea is also timeless. We can never say that some idea has happened at a certain moment. We can never say that honesty has happened at a certain moment. Honesty is always is an idea that is independent of time. And it's good sometimes to sit back and just think over what is the form and nature of an idea, to realize that an idea is ever present, timeless, ever active, therefore never restricted to a place, to a person, to a thing, or to a moment. An idea, because they are of God, are always positive, always positive. Therefore, human language is not correct, because in common language we speak, that is a good idea, that is a bad idea. That is not the way we use the term idea in divine metaphysics. In all of Mrs. Eddy's writings, you will find not a single statement where idea is connected with a negative quality. It's always positive, because by definition, idea is the image of the divine mind. It's the immediate object of that which mind, the divine mind, knows. So ideas are always positive. The universe with which we deal in metaphysics is therefore a universe of ideas, never a universe of people and things. Now, having tried to define what an idea is, it is good also to define the counterfeit of an idea. We call the counterfeit of an idea an illusion. So under the term illusion in metaphysics, we understand therefore an image in mortal thought, an image in mortal consciousness, a value which we bear in mortal consciousness. Illusions, therefore, are the elements with which we calculate in mortal consciousness, in mortal thought. So you see, whenever we have the counterfeit of what constitutes an idea, we call that an illusion. An illusion. In connection with idea and illusion, I also should now spend a few moments on the term thought. Because, especially in the Christian Science jargon, thought and idea are mostly used as synonymous terms, which is completely wrong. Which is completely wrong. We have to see the nature of thought and the relation of thought to idea and to illusion. Perhaps I will state it like this. First of all, let me state that a thought is not an idea. Is not an idea. I know that most Christian Scientists think that a thought is an idea, but it isn't. We find no statement in the Christian Science textbook which would support that. And you will see at once why it is not so. Because if you take your concordance and look up everything, what Mrs. Eddy says about thought, then you will see that thought is used both in a positive way and in a negative way. So thought and idea cannot be synonymous, because idea is always used in a positive way and always stands for an expression of deity, where thought doesn't. Well, what then is thought in relation to idea and to illusion? Well, we can see that really thought is only the human channel through which we can either perceive of an idea or an illusion. Thought is that channel, that medium, so to say, on the human level, by which we can turn either to the contemplation of the realm of ideas, or on the other side, by which we can contemplate the realm of illusions. So thought can be turned in both ways, towards ideas and towards illusions. If they are turned towards ideas, then we term them divine thoughts, godly thoughts. But we know that they can also be turned towards illusion, and then we call them mortal thoughts, erring thoughts, and so on. So we can see that thought as such is neither good nor evil. It all depends which direction we give to thought, what we contemplate in consciousness. Mrs. Eddy asked in the textbook, how are veritable ideas to be distinguished from illusions? This is a question which people ask so often. They ask, but how can I know what is an idea and what is a illusion? Mrs. Eddy goes on answering and says, by learning the origin of it. Whatever comes from God is an idea. Whatever has the origin in God is an idea. Whatever has an origin outside of God is an illusion. She goes on and says, ideas are emanations from the divine mind. You see, whatever has its origin and therefore emanates from the divine mind, that alone has the right to the term idea. But she says, thoughts proceeding from the brain or from matter are offshoots of mortal mind. So whatever originates in brain or matter are not ideas. They are illusions. They are offshoots of mortal mind. They are mortal material beliefs. Then she adds, ideas are spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. Now, we see, therefore, that we have to be very clear about the use of thought and idea. Naturally, an idea can be fathomed and grasped through spiritual thought. So that thought, in a way, can be the manifestation of an idea. Really, it is a translated form of idea. The way we can perceive of a spiritual idea is really through spiritual thought, through spiritual consciousness. You see, Mrs. Eddy would explain this like this. She would say, immortal ideas, pure, perfect, and enduring, are transmitted by the divine mind through divine science, which corrects error with truth and demands spiritual thoughts, divine concepts, to the end that they may produce harmonious results. You see, the way a true idea comes to us may be through spiritual thought. And in that way, we can grasp and realize the true nature of being. So, the divine mind, through divine science, transmits these ideas and forms within us spiritual thoughts. This whole question of idea, illusion, thought, you can also study in the compendium number 1, where we have given quite an extensive study on this very question. In the compendium 1, for compendium for the study of Christian Science, number 1. Now, let us therefore see, this is important to state again, that Christian Science really is a science that deals with spiritual ideas and not with thoughts and not with illusions. That it presents a system of ideas and not a system of thinking. So often you hear from Christian scientists that they say Christian Science is a system of thinking. It isn't. It isn't at all. It's a system of ideas. Because the elements of realities are ideas and not thoughts. And so these elements of reality form a divine system. Just as the elements of mathematics, namely numbers, operate in the system of mathematics. Just as the elements of chemistry, namely the chemical elements, operate in a system of the periodic system. And so we must realize that we will have to do, when we investigate the science of being, with a system of ideas and not with a thought system. It's not a thinking system. And therefore we must also realize that its saving power is a saving power through ideas of God and not through thinking. It isn't so that right thinking heals, because thinking is never from God. What is from God are ideas, and therefore ideas heal. And as long as we think that through our thinking we can heal, we fall back to the plane of mesmerism, of hypnotism, of benevolent thought transference. But it isn't Christian Science. Christian Science is only a system of healing based on the operation of ideas. In the idea lies the power of salvation, and never in the thought of a practitioner. If we rely that our thoughts heal, and so often you hear a patient say, "Oh, I have a wonderful practitioner. She has such a strong thought." Well, she could just as well say, "I have a wonderful mesmerist. She has such a strong mesmeric influence on me." Well, that may be the attitude of the patient. The practitioner may be quite different in her consciousness, but that's how many patients react and define the healing in Christian Science. And we must see that clearly, that we should free ourselves from the belief that a thought can heal. It's ideas. Mrs. Eddy has given us the system of mind healing, and writes mind with a capital M. Whereas if we think that thinking, right thinking, can heal, then she would have given us mind healing with a small m. But she speaks about the divine mind healing. And the divine mind has only as its object ideas. Ideas are the image of mind.